Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Jordan brings us a sermon called Faith Like a Child. It comes from Matthew 18, 1 through 5, and 1 Corinthians.
So we are going to have kind of a two-part series here, and today's the first part where we're going to talk about childlike faith. And faith like a child. So today we're going to talk about what does it mean to be childlike or childish. There was two pieces of scripture read, and they kind of seem to contradict themselves, because Jesus is saying, if you be like a child, you'll inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul talks about, when I was a child, I did childish things, but now you're an adult. And there's a lot of other pieces of scripture that seem to talk negatively about acting like a child also. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But first, I want to talk about garages. We'll get there, don't worry. I want to talk about garages because a garage seems to be this humble place, and it seems like garages tend to be the place where successful people start. Garages are the story for some of the biggest, most successful companies and people that we consider successful in our country. We have up there is the garage where Jeff Bezos started Amazon. And then here is the garage where Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak started Apple. Here is the garage where Bill Gates and Paul Allen started Microsoft. This is the garage that Walt Disney used for his first studio. And of course, Harley Davidson started in a garage. That one makes a lot of sense, right? There's also other ones like Google started in a garage in Menlo Park, California. Yankee Candle Company started in a garage. And Mattel, the toy company, started in a garage also. We love these rags to riches stories because it somehow shows us that the measure of success is that we start from a humble place and then we gain more popularity and success by gaining more control, power, influence that we can attain. Our world believes this is how you develop and grow, that we're constantly having to gain more knowledge, gain more power. That's what we view as success. We see it all the time. We see it with businesses. We often see it with politicians too. If it's somebody that was not a career politician and then they become one, that they are the person of the people, that they started from a humble place and now they're successful. We believe success is by gaining more power. And so it's weird to think that most of these people and businesses started in a very humble place. And we believe that they shouldn't stay in a humble place. But it changes. Most jobs, including mine, most of yours, involve some kind of moving up the ladder. Gaining more power, gaining more knowledge, trying to set ourselves apart. And it's not just careers, right? We do this everywhere. Maybe it's something like, which mom brought the best treats to the PTA meeting? Maybe it's like feeling like you have some secret knowledge because you found some facts on Facebook that nobody else knows about. Maybe it's saying things like, I have faith over fear. If only I could run things, then everything would be fixed. Most often we think that. That's a fun joke that my grandma often says. This is how she diffused tense situations. She said, if somebody just handed me a crown and a scepter, I could fix all the problems in the world. But we all kind of believe that, right? If we could just run the world, or if the world could run the way I think it should be run, then everything would be fixed. We are trying to set ourselves apart constantly. We're trying to get ahead. We're trying to prove ourselves all of the time. We do it in our families. As kids grow up and become adults, you try to set yourself apart from your family. You try to show that you are smart, that you're adults, you know what you're doing. And this is what the disciples are doing in our scripture today. They ask Jesus, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They're trying to see what kind of edge can they get. They ask these questions all the time of Jesus. They ask him all these questions of what can they do to continue to please Jesus, to gain eternal life. But this is the human condition, right? The human condition is that we cannot be at peace with who we are or where we are. We feel like we're always having to prove something to someone. It's kind of like we're constantly doggy paddling at the top of a waterfall. Because we're afraid what's going to be at the bottom. We're just trying and trying and trying. And I know a lot of us probably feel that way after the last 18 months. That we're just trying, we're just treading water. I know I've felt that for a long time. You're just treading water. Let's just keep our heads above water for long enough. And then sometimes we have to doggy paddle even faster to keep from going off the waterfall. If only we can get to the next thing, we will be respected, loved, and admired. The pandemic showed that some people, that doggy paddling at the top of the waterfall just wasn't worth it anymore. You saw a lot of people left their jobs, got other jobs. That somehow it wiggled something loose in people that there's more to life than this. It gave people time to think and be present. And the curtain had been pulled back. And then for some, it makes us doggy paddle even harder. That this can't be it. That I have to get to the next thing. Because I think this past 18 months has been kind of a wake-up call. That ultimately, you are not in control. And that scares us. So then we cling to things that we believe we can control. As we think we could control, like, our successfulness by gaining more knowledge, by gaining more power. This has even influenced our theology. The Bible, Scripture, the things that Jesus taught, came from Eastern thought, Eastern culture, which is vastly different than Western culture. And so when the gospel made its way to Western culture, it started to adapt to it, and people manipulate it in ways so it transforms into what we believe. So in Western culture, we often use guilt, that we aren't doing enough, that you didn't do something right. And so now the existential question of Christians in Western culture becomes, how can my sins be forgiven so I can be assured of heaven? That's what I need. What can I do to get that? Because I may not be doing the right things. I have guilt. That's what it has turned into. We need to keep paddling. That's what that does. We need to keep paddling. We need to keep swimming. Because at the bottom of the waterfall, there's something in us. There's something in us that we do not want to deal with. We create this outer impression to avoid feeling like we're not enough. That deep down, a lot of us feel shame, guilt, fear, anxiety. And some of you are like, man, I don't feel anxiety. I don't feel fear. We all feel anxiety and fear. We all feel it in different ways. And we also all medicate it in different ways. Some of us are actually on medicine for it. Some of us use our jobs to medicate it. Some of us use the ways in which we care for our kids to medicate it. Some of us use sports to medicate it. I don't use the Packers for that. They give me plenty of anxiety. This whole off-season was anxiety. So the disciples are constantly working out their fear and anxiety, just like we do. They're asking Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Am I in or am I out? What do I need to do to get in? Why can't we storm the gates of Rome? Because they believe Jesus would bring a physical revolution of a kingdom on earth here and now. Why do you hang out with the wrong people? Jesus. And then finally today, when they said, who is the best in the kingdom of God? And in order to receive the kingdom of God, you must be transformed. You must become like a child. But there's plenty of places, like I said, in the Bible where children aren't talked about in a positive way. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. But I think Paul is talking about something that's different than what Jesus is talking about. I think Paul is talking about childishness, being childish, right? So what is childishness, and what is that like? Childishness is childlike behavior gone sour. Many of you who are parents know this. You've seen it. You've experienced it. It's a refusal to grow up. It's when a person of any age acts younger than they are. While it may be natural for children to act that way, seeing an adult act that way is not so good. It's when people who should know better throw temper tantrums and pout when they don't get their way. It's when people are irresponsible and behave as if the world revolves around them. And it's when people make petty demands and selfish complaints. Now, children are born with a natural tendency to disobey and throw temper tantrums, right? To cry when they don't get their way, to scream at the top of their voice when they get a little bit hungry. I do that too. I have a problem of getting hangry. And to fuss when they get tired. I also do that. Things don't change very much. But it's our responsibility, it's parents' responsibility, to help train and discipline things out of children so that when they grow up and mature, they don't stay childish. So like if a child turns 8 and consistently throws a temper tantrum in order to get their way, then they're acting childish. If a child turns 15 and still pouts and cries when asked to vacuum the living room, they are acting childish. Children must grow and mature. So then what is Jesus talking about when Jesus talks about childlike faith? Mandy Smith wrote a book called Unfettered, and it's about reclaiming a theology of childlike faith. And if you're interested in any of that stuff, I invite you to check it out. There's a lot of good things in there. But she talks about these are kind of the keys of what Jesus is talking about, what it means to have childlike faith. She tells us that being a child, having childlike faith is a posture of openness. Being openness to the things in the world, things that happen to you, things that come to you. Releasing control. Because if you think about, as a child, you don't have much control at all. You go where your parents take you. You go where your grandparents take you. You just don't have control. You're being brought around by everybody else. Unafraid of our limitations. You don't see kids always being afraid that they can't always do something. First instinct would be to try. And comfortable with our humanity. Children are very comfortable with their humanity, and they also don't fear about getting things wrong. They're accepting of things bigger than themselves. And they're not fearful in what they do not know, and are dependent on others for their life. There's a story this week from Betsy, our preschool director. And oftentimes, I like hearing these stories because this shows the childlike faith, the innocence, the humility, the life without shame, without guilt, the confidence. So this week, there is a student, a preschool student, who had an accident on the playground. And they were wearing a romper. And so they, since they had an accident, their first thought is, I need to change clothes. Just stripped down right then and there. And then came into the preschool with nothing on and just not a care in the world. And when Betsy was telling me the story, she had said, you know, I wish as adults we didn't lose that. We didn't lose that confidence. that innocence, that shamelessness, the humility, just not having a care in the world. But somewhere along the way, we learn to have those things, to have shame, to have guilt, to not have confidence in ourselves because we don't have enough knowledge or control. We're not there yet. We're not successful. But Jesus wants us to keep it, because that state of being, that is truly when we begin to see the kingdom of God. When we let go of the things that we are trying to be and the things that we are trying to control, then we can truly see what God is doing in our midst. When we are trying to be God, we can't see God. Being a child leaves room for God to be God and humans to be humans. We always want to be something more. Purity, Puritan type movement and religion was all about we have to keep the right morals and the right rules in order that God will accept us, that we can be more Christ-like, we can be like Jesus. When we say be like Jesus, it's not necessarily that we're going to be like God, but we need to be like the love of God. But first and foremost, we're humans. We're the creation that God created us to be. And we need to be okay with that. We think about the creation story, the whole thing with shame in there, that God created the Adam and Eve, and then they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then all of a sudden they're shameful of their nakedness. That God created us first to be wholly dependent on God. Somewhere along the way we said, I think I can do it. Childlike faith is being dependent on God. We were once okay with not running the whole universe in our lives. As a child, you weren't worried about controlling everything. And I think we can be okay doing that once again. As kids, we also had a capacity for that scary place of not knowing, that scary place of just being honest about what is and trusting that it won't last forever. But now we paddle as hard as we can to keep ourselves out of that scary place. Most children aren't taking in information in order to accept or love something. They love something in order to know it. If you ask my nephews a couple of years ago, they're older now, so they have different interests. But if you ask them about Paw Patrol, they could tell you every single thing about it, right? And you can't know Paw Control until you start loving it and watching it and engaging with it. God is calling us to the same thing in our childlike faith, to love others, to love God. That's how we truly get to know God. God's calling us back. Mandy Smith also had this very interesting, different depiction of what it means for the gospel and what Jesus did. So most often in our Christian culture, Western culture especially, we think of it as, I don't know if you've ever seen the image of humans are on one side and God's on the other, and there's this, I'm forgetting the word, it's a gap, we'll use that, cavern, chasm, thank you, chasm between us. And then you draw the cross of Christ over it so that humans can be connected to God again. She also then says it's kind of like if you think about a baby in the womb. The umbilical cord is very important because that's receiving nutrients from the mother. What would happen if that baby then severed the umbilical cord in the womb? As a mother, wouldn't you want, if you had the chance, wouldn't you become a baby in the womb also to fix it, to help reconnect that umbilical cord? She said that's what God did. God does that. God loves us so much that God became human. God brought himself down to a different level. So if God brought God's self down into human form, then certainly we can bring ourselves down to a childlike wonder and faith. So how do we do this? How do we get there? How do we get to this childlike faith? A lot of us probably have a lot of shame and guilt built up in our lives, a lot of images of who we think we are given to us by other people, given to us by ourselves, that we just think, I just can't even get there. I can't even imagine having that type of faith. Well, I think the gospel story tells us exactly how to do that. The whole gospel story is about life, death, and resurrection. We often think of this as future realities in Christianity. We sit and we think, well, we're in life right now, and eventually we'll die, and eventually then maybe we'll be resurrected. But this is a present reality. This is something that we could do every single day. That we are living, but we die to ourselves to put on that childlike faith, to put on the likeness of Christ. We die to ourselves so we may be resurrected and transformed. And Richard Rohr says that most oftentimes transformation goes order, disorder, and reorder. I don't know if any of you have heard in my circles, being my age, there's a lot of what we call ex-evangelicals. People my age who grew up in the evangelical church and Christianity and were taught something and later in life it just didn't fit anymore. And there's different ways people do that, and one of the ways is called deconstruction. And there's certain people that hate that word. There's certain people that think it's bad for faith. But this is how transformation happens. There's deconstruction and then reconstruction. There's order that you have at one point and doesn't work anymore, disorder, and then somehow you have to reorder it in a way that helps transform your heart and your life. Some of us may be sitting in disorder, and that's a place many of us have been. Maybe some of us are in order. Maybe some of us are in the reorder phase, the life, death, and resurrection. So where to start? I think one of the things is to realize our main fear is rejection in life. Our main fear is that people will not love us for who we are. We have to prove ourselves to other people. We have to prove ourselves to our boss. We have to prove ourselves to our spouse, to our kids, to our friends, to our schools. Realize that rejection is our fear. We want to prove ourselves to God so that God may accept us. We're afraid of that, the rejection of God. And ultimately, the rejection of who we are, because ultimately, deep down, we feel like we are not enough, even for ourselves, for our closest friends and family, and for God. So, maybe we should release our agendas. Release our need to be in control. Release our need to be God and just live like a child, to be fully dependent on God and in full trust and full humility. With that posture of openness, of releasing of control, being unafraid of our limitations, being comfortable with our humanness, to be like that preschooler this week here at New Hope. Because in those ways, maybe we can fully understand the kingdom of God. And it's not easy. We're all going to mess up, but that's why grace abounds. That's what the gospel is about, grace. It's about learning to live within the ways that God originally intended us to live, that we are loved, we are cared for, that we have to make our way back to the garden in that way, to be childlike, to trust, to be dependent on God wholly. And this isn't just some kind of, I know people often talk about being dependent on God as like, I'm just going to trust God with everything. Well, I wouldn't step out in traffic and be like, I trust God, right? That would be childish. But to trust God in a way that even when things are going chaotically wrong, when you feel out of control, that it will end, that there is hope for tomorrow. And I think that's what we need right now. Our world is, we're all tense, we're all frustrated. We are all holding a lot in, a lot more than we think we are. And it starts, if we don't deal with it in certain ways, that we have that openness, if we have that being okay with our humanness, then it starts to bubble out in such weird ways. I know we've all seen some of those videos of school board meetings and people being cruel and mean. It comes out in those ways. So let's have a posture of childlike faith as we go into our world, as we go into a world that's very unpredictable this fall and winter. Have childlike faith. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful day.